Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Tonight, have a seat, and like I said a moment ago, the title of tonight's message is Watch Your Mouth. One of the neat things about the Christmas season is that there are birth announcements. How many of you know there's some excitement when a baby's coming? You know, I remember when we found out that we had a bun in the oven for the first time, our little daughter Chloe, she was just such a joy. You know, and we had such a fun time, and part of the fun was going out and telling everybody that we were pregnant and going to have a baby. And so that's been a neat thing that we've gotten to do three times now. Now, you know, people have taken this to a whole nother level, haven't they? They're having parties where they're having balloons pop out of boxes that are the color of the baby's sex. They're having the gender reveal thing, you know, cut the cake and it's blue or pink, you know, or they're popping little poppers and they turn a certain color. I got to see someone do something like that recently. It was such a joy. And just neat to see. And I saw one that I thought would be kind of fun for us to watch tonight. What you guys, these guys took it to a whole nother level. Check out the overheads.
Seriously, who else gets pulled over by their husband? I'm trying to get to work.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Mike, what are you doing?
It's deputy. I pulled you over today.
Deputy, it's deputy. Yes, oh.
For violation of California Vehicle Code 21655. You know what that one is.
You don't need to tell me, and I'm not in violation at all.
Ma'am, as I approached your vehicle, I did not see anyone else in the vehicle. So, do you have your license, registration, proof of insurance?
I am not in violation of any California vehicle code. You have got to be kidding me.
Ma'am,
I'm trying to go to work.
We will argue about this later. Please hand me the documentation requested.
Yes, yes, we will. I'm not in violation.
Ma'am, I stand corrected.
That's a whole nother level, isn't it? But one of the neat things about the Bible is that we get these birth announcements, don't we? We get the announcement that Jesus is coming, that he will be called the Son of the Most High, that he will save his people from their sins. What a birth announcement is that? I mean, you got angels showing up. You've got choirs singing. You got all this stuff. But I want to show you a different birth announcement, and that's in the Gospel of Luke. If you turn with me to Luke chapter number 1, and we're going to read a lot of scripture tonight, okay? I'm going to give you a heads up in advance because I know a lot of times you come to church and we got three scriptures, we got 3 points, we keep it easy, we keep it bite-sized, we keep it simple and applicable, and that's one of the reasons why people love the preaching here is because we break it down and everybody gets something at whatever level. Tonight, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture, but it's a lot of story. And you know, I believe that you guys are smart enough, that you guys have enough attention. We're not in the kids' classes over there, so I believe that you guys can handle this tonight. Because we're going to be talking about a birth announcement. There's a lot of fun and a lot of things that we're going to draw out of this story. In Luke chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse number 11, but let me give you a little bit of the backstory. 400 years of silence, right? There has not been a prophetic utterance on the earth for 400 years. During that time, some things have happened. The children of Israel have come back from exile. They've come back in and they took back over their city. They took back over the temple. They built the walls back up. Things have taken place. Things have been happening. And now, here they are, and they're just kind of there, and they've been waiting for God to do something a prophet hasn't raised up in hundreds of years. But now, all of a sudden, the silence is broken by this announcement. Here's a priest, and he's just doing his job. He's there in the temple. It's his turn, if you will. And he's going to go, and he's going to sprinkle incense on the altar of incense, as was his priestly duty. Now, the incense in the Bible, anytime you see incense in the Bible, and especially with the altar of incense, that symbolized the prayers of the saints. The book of Revelation, you find there's much incense that was poured out on the altar, and it defines for us what that is. It says the prayers of the saints. So here's Zacharias, the priest, and his division goes in, and it's his turn that day to go into the temple, and he's putting coals of incense on the altar there, and he's supposed to wave that in before the Lord, and that symbolizes the prayers of Israel. And while he's doing that, something takes place. Luke chapter 1. Verse number 11, we're going to read all the way down through verse number 24, the first part of verse number 24. Look at what it says in verse number 11 of Luke chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. He just, boom, there he is, right? Beam me up, Jesus. The angel just appears in the middle of the temple standing next to the altar. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Now, that's a natural reaction, right? I might have had to change my tunic if that happened to me. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so here he is. An angel appears right in the middle of him just doing his job. His everyday, God interrupts and breaks the silence. Look at what happens. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Now, if you don't know this story, let me just give you some more backstory. The Bible says that Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth are advanced in age. That's a nice way of saying they old. All right, you guys tracking with me? They're past the age of childbearing. And in that day and age, it was seen as a reproach to a woman who could not have a child because children were a blessing from God. The Bible talks about the blessing that children are, that whoever's quiver is full of the arrows, speaking of the children that you will have, is very blessed of God. And so if you didn't have any children, if your quiver was empty, then what's wrong with you? Maybe God's mad at you, right? So here he is, and the angel shows up and speaks to Zacharias, and he says, "Do not be afraid." He says, "For your prayer is heard." Isn't that interesting that here he is doing his job, putting incense on the altar, and his prayer is heard? Now, we don't hear any recorded prayers, do we? The Bible doesn't record that, but I think that Zacharias had been praying this prayer so long. Come on. That this is something that routinely every day he was asking. And even though he was beyond the age of childbearing, that incense, because it had been placed on the altar, because that seed fell to the ground and died, that now that prayer has come up before the Lord. And even though he may not have been praying it, even though it may have been a prayer that he prayed a long, 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 long time ago, that now all of a sudden the Lord says, "It's time. It's time to answer this man's prayers because I'm about ready to do something supernatural on the earth. It's going to be miraculous." Goes on and look at what it says. "Elizabeth will bear you a son and you shall call his name John." The name John means that the Lord is gracious. Isn't that awesome? The Lord is gracious. God's going to give you a gift, a supernatural gracious gift. It's going to be a baby boy. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." What a birth announcement this is, right? Break out the balloons and the blue cake. We are having a baby boy. It goes on and it says this in verse number 15, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." And we see that, right? When Mary comes in a little bit later in the story, she's her cousin. And as soon as Mary greets her, John does a backflip, right? And starts doing the moonwalk on the inside of her womb there. He just celebrates. And even in the mother's womb, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And look at what verse 16 says. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God." Verse 17, "He will also go before him," capital H, speaking of Jesus. This is going to be the forerunner. This is going to be the harbinger. This is going to be that one, that voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." He's going forth in the spirit of Elijah. This is that guy. This is that prophet. This is the one Jesus spoke of. There's no one greater in the kingdom of God, no greater prophet than this one, John, who's going to be born. What a birth announcement is taking place right now. "He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Verse number 18, "And Zacharias said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years.'" Now, let me just pause right here for a moment and just give ourselves a little recap of the story. Zacharias is doing his job. He's in the temple all alone. There's only one way in and one way out. Zacharias walked in alone, but yet facing him in the middle of the temple is an angel. Angels, when they show up, carry the very glory and presence of God with them because they see the face of God. So this had to be a supernatural being. In fact, sometimes when you see angels in the Bible, their clothes shine like lightning, okay? So he had to be supernaturally striking to the natural physical eye, all right? He's in the middle of this temple. He's all alone. The angel appears to him, starts speaking purpose and destiny, blessing and a gift. And John says, "How will I know this is going to be?" Everybody tracking? Everybody's on the same page with me? Okay, because that's essentially what just took place right now. How do I know it's true? Now, I could understand if this had never happened before, like with Mary, right? That same angel shows up to Mary, Elizabeth's cousin, and says, "You're going to have a baby." She says, "How can this be? Because I do not know a man." In other words, this has never happened before, and I only know one way to have a baby, and it requires two people getting together, right? One male, one female. Don't let anybody else lie to you and tell you anything different. That's how it happens. That's how God designed it. The plumbing works, okay? And so he said to her, he doesn't rebuke her, he doesn't chasten her. He tells her, what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit's going to place the baby in your womb. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. He'll come upon you, and what's born of you will be called the Son of God. Why? Because never before had this been done. It's going to be a supernatural, miraculous thing. And at that point, when she heard the will of God, she said, "Be it unto me as you have said. Behold your maidservant." But here's Zacharias, and there's two, him and his wife. But you say, well, they're old and they're advanced in years. But has that ever happened before in the Bible? The answer is yes, right? Actually, more than once, Manoah and his wife were old. How about the very famous one, Abraham and Sarah? Oh my goodness. 90 and 100 years old having a baby. Who ever heard of such a thing? Right? And yet the Bible says that they laughed, and yet the will of God was that they were going to bring forth a son and call his name Isaac. And then later on we find out that Abraham, the Bible says, did not waver in unbelief. That when he heard the word of the Lord, he stayed strong. So here's Zacharias. Now Abraham, he didn't have the Bible. Zacharias had the Bible. He had the Old Testament, right? He would have been required to have memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. He would have been able to sing all of those scriptures. He would have known the stories. And by the way, they revered Abraham as the father of faith. And so they were of their father Abraham, right? Who had many sons, and many sons had father Abraham, if you know the story, right? But look at what the angel answers in verse number 19. And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." So Gabriel realized, I'm sorry, I didn't introduce myself. Let me just tell you for a second who I am, right? And he tells him his authority. He tells him his position. I stand in the presence of God. The book of Revelation says there are 7 ministering spirits that stand in the presence of God, right? Now, I don't know if that means that there's a hierarchy of angels. Obviously, there is rank, and we see Michael, the only other angel that's named in the Bible, leading the army of angels to go and fight war with the devil. We see that in the Bible. Here's Gabriel, who was sent to Daniel the last time we saw him showing up in the Bible. Now he's sent to be the messenger of God to both Zacharias and Mary. So here he is, and he's saying, let me just tell you for a second who I am. I'm kind of a big deal. All right? I stand in the presence of God. That's how you know my word is sure, is because of who I am and whom I was sent from to declare to you what's going to take place. Goes on and it says this, verse number 20, "But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." In other words, Zacharias, if you can't watch your mouth, I'm going to shut you up. You guys were wondering where the title came in, didn't you? There it is. It goes on, verse 21, "And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple." Verse 22, "But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless." Verse 23, "So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house." Verse 24, "And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived." I'm going to just pause right there. That means that the two of them in their old age celebrated him coming home together. Any married people can say amen, right? But I see something in the life of Zacharias. I see that something took place. I see that there was a process that develops. And we're going to go through this story and pull out some truths as we continue on. But I believe that if we're going to watch our mouth, and especially around Christmas, this is a strategic time, isn't it? This is a time where there's many gatherings, many meetings, many people in our lives. We've already had Thanksgiving, and we're opening our doors once again at Christmas. There will be celebrations. There will be church services. There will be office parties. There will be community parties, cookie baking stuff that you do with the kids, right? And the school functions and all the stuff that takes place. This is a really busy season. And this is a really busy time. And of all times, when we are surrounded by a lot of activity, when we're exhausted from a lot of activity, come on, somebody. How many of you know when you start to get tired, when you start to get weary, when you start to feel a little under the weather, you know what I'm saying? And you're starting to feel that fatigue. How many of you know that your defenses start to drop a little bit? Anybody realize that about themselves, honest enough to say, yeah, when I'm tired, when I'm fatigued, when I've been going hard for a long time, man, I find myself slipping a little bit. You know, I know that happens to me. And that's something for all of us to understand, that we are going into a strategic time that I believe that every meeting, every gathering, every conversation, every word that we speak has meaning and purpose, and we can either sow seeds of life or we can sow seeds of death. And God is asking us to watch your mouth. God wants us to speak life. God wants us to speak light. He wants us to speak purpose and destiny and faith. And God wants us to declare his will, his word, his counsel in this season. He wants us to build and not tear down. He wants us to develop. And that's why we've got to watch our mouth. So in order to watch our mouth, we've got to do some things. First thing is that we got to get doubt out. Everybody say that. Get doubt out. Oh, come on. Say it aggressively. Get doubt out. You got to get it out. And here's the reason why, because he who doubts is like a wind-tossed wave of the ocean. And James tells us you should expect to receive nothing from the Lord if you're filled with doubt. We've got to get doubt out. Don't give voice to your doubts, to your fears, to your frustrations, to your worries. That's what got Zacharias in trouble. That's, in fact, what got the children of Israel in trouble as they wandered in the wilderness, was their mouths. They complained, they grumbled, they mumbled, they muttered things that they shouldn't have said. And Jesus told us that we will be brought into judgment for every idle word that's been spoken. That scares me a little bit. So you got to get doubt out of your heart so that it doesn't come up out of your mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If it isn't faith, then it doesn't need to be spoken. Right? Better to tie up your lips than to have the Lord tie up your tongue. Come on, somebody. Right? I'd rather hold my tongue than have God hold it for me. Is that right? Heard the story of an old man that went to the doctor, 90 years old, and he was having some trouble with his elbow. And it was really hurting him bad. And so he went to the doctor and he sat down. And he said, "Doc, my elbow's really hurting me." The doctor took some tests and looked him over and said, "Hey, you know what? You're 90 years old. What did you expect?" And he said, "I expect you to fix it. The other one's 90 years old too, and it works just fine." See, it doesn't matter what circumstances you find yourself in. It doesn't matter if, like Zacharias, you find yourself lingering, wondering, what's going on? Why haven't I received this? I've been praying about this for a really long time. Don't let time, circumstances, surroundings dictate what you speak. You stay in faith. You declare the word. You continue to speak what God says. If you've got a promise, hold on to that promise and declare the word of God. But you got to get doubt out. Get it out of your heart. Don't let it get out of your mouth. Zacharias should have expected God to do what he said through his messenger. Is that right? He should have expected. If this is an angel of God who just appeared right in the middle of the temple, like the Star Trek guys are outside beaming him up, then hello, I should expect that this is going to happen. He should have expected God to do what he did for Abraham and Sarah and for Manoah and his wife. He should have expected that this was going to happen. But guess what else? We should expect it too in our lives. There should be a level of expectancy in our hearts when we read the word of God that far surpasses what we can see with our eyes, what we can hear with our ears, what we can touch and feel and taste and smell. It should be something that goes beyond the natural and goes into the supernatural. We are spirit beings. And even though we live in this earth suit, and we've been trained all throughout our lives to judge things by our senses and what we can calculate up here in our minds, we are spiritual beings. And when you've been born again, now, the very way that you came to life was that you just simply believed. And let's talk about what you believe for a second. You believe that because a man 2,000 years ago went to a cross and died, and that he was raised again to life, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, that somehow, even though you don't know how, but you believe this anyways, you believe that takes your sin and places it on him at the cross thousands of years earlier. And that now you can have eternal life. Now, it's no wonder to me that people who are unspiritual, who have not yet been born again, have a hard time wrapping their minds around Christianity. Because if you try and calculate that out in the natural, it doesn't work, does it? To the natural mind, that's never going to make sense. I don't understand how someone 2,000 years ago can affect me today. But yet, these are not naturally understood truths. These are spiritually understood truths. Wait a second. You're telling me that if I pray and I declare a scripture, if I say what God says, a verse about my healing, that I'm going to get healed? Yes, if you can believe it. Wait a second. You're telling me that this impossible situation can become possible if I'll declare what God says about it and I'll just simply believe it? Yes, that's what I'm saying. You say, but that doesn't make sense. I can't calculate that out. Exactly. Because if you could make sense of it, if you could calculate it out, then when it happens, you would get the glory for it. Is that right? But if it's a supernatural thing that takes place and is beyond your ability, and you have to tap into God's supernatural ability, then that means that God gets the glory. Is that right? And that's what this is all about. Mark chapter 11, if you want to hold your finger there in Luke, we'll be back there in a moment. But Mark chapter number 11, verse number 23 and verse number 24. Commit these verses to your memory. Write them down. Make sure that you can get back to them. Highlight them. Underline them. Put a little star and a smiley face next to them. Do what you got to do to get back to these verses, because these are going to be verses that bring life. These are going to bring verses that bring you light when the darkness of doubt tries to surround you in the middle of the night, when you're wondering how you're going to make it, when you're wondering if God has abandoned you, when you're wondering about the next day, maybe the next hour, maybe the next minute, when somebody hands you a fruitcake one more time this year. Come on, somebody. And you're wondering, do I even like them? Do I want to be around them? You're going to have to get back to these verses. Mark chapter 11. Verse number 23 and verse number 24, for assuredly, this is Jesus speaking, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, notice they have to speak. They have to declare something. You better watch your mouth. Get doubt out and get faith in. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. That doesn't make sense, does it? You ever seen somebody walking, right? Maybe they're going south and they're going over to Box Springs Mountain. Hey, you know what? I need to get to Moreno Valley. Get out of my way. You ever seen somebody do that? And it just jumps up on its legs and jumps into the ocean? We've never seen anything like that, right? But yet Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And look at this. And does not doubt in his heart. Got to get doubt out. But believes those things which he said will be done. He will have whatever he says. You know, when I looked up this word whatever in the Greek, the original language, first time, I was shocked. You want to know what this really means? It means whatever. It's shocking, isn't it? Jesus is saying, whatever you say that you're not in doubt over, but you're in faith over, it's going to happen. Just watch and see. That's why Jesus could speak to the fig tree. In fact, that's what sparked this conversation, was Jesus spoke to a fig tree, may you never bear fruit again. Now, on the surface, it didn't look like anything happened. But the next day, they're walking by a second time, and the sucker's dried up from its roots. It was never going to bear fruit again. And the disciples marveled, and they pointed out to Jesus, and Jesus says, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, see, with this picture in mind, with the withered fig tree staring them in the face, he says, whoever speaks to this mountain, I believe Jesus pointed to a mountain, whoever speaks to this mountain and says, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and believes in his heart those things you said and does not doubt, that he will have whatever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, because of what I just said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, I wanted to make sure to include that verse for the very reason that Zacharias was asking and was praying for a baby. And God gave it to him. Did it take time? Yes. Did it take longer than Zacharias and Elizabeth wanted? Yes. Had they had a lot of frustration, a lot of teary nights, a lot of crying themselves to sleep? Probably, right? A lot of frustration and fear. In fact, even Elizabeth, when she finally had that baby, she said, the Lord has taken away my reproach. She felt like God didn't like her. She felt like God had shoved her to the side, or there's something wrong with her. And yet she now is rejoicing. Why? Because their prayer has been answered. It's been heard and it's been granted to them. And they received what they had asked for in prayer. It's no different with you. Maybe you felt like God's been mad at you. Maybe you felt like you were out of his grace. Maybe you felt like, you know, the outcast of your family or society, and you're wondering what's wrong with you, and how come, God, my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling? How come, and they're not getting any further than my bedroom or my closet? God, how come? Why is it waiting? I'm here to tell you today that if you will stand in faith, if you will speak to your mountain, if you will declare the promises of God and not doubt but believe those things which you have said, you will receive them. And when you stand praying, believing, know that you will receive those things that you've asked for in prayer. Come on, give the Lord a praise for that, because that's good news. Because some of you guys have been praying for your family to get saved, and you're about ready to see them around the Christmas table. Some of you guys have been praying for your ungodly coworkers to get saved, and you're going to see them at the office party. Some of you guys have been praying for your neighborhoods to get saved, and you're going to see them at the Christmas cooking baking party at someone's house. Somewhere, you're going to come across somebody that you've been praying for. Now listen, they may not get saved at the party. They may not get saved at the Christmas table. They may not get saved this year, next year, the year after that. But don't stop believing. Don't stop praying. Don't stop asking. And don't stop praising. You got to get doubt out. Second thing that I see in the story is this, is get in agreement with the word. Get in agreement with the word. Zacharias, when he was, how am I going to know, right? God shut him up. But let's see what happens when we get in agreement. Luke chapter 1, once again, verse number 50. And this time we're going to read through verse number 64. Luke chapter 1, verse number, 59. Luke chapter 1, verse number 59. I'm going to read down through verse number 64. Luke chapter 1, verse 59. So it was on the eighth day. So they've had John the Baptist. He's come into the world. And Elizabeth says, all right, it's time to name him. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. See, in the Jewish tradition, on the eighth day, they would circumcise the child and they would name him. And so they're naming him after his father, Zacharias. Verse number 60, his mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. So her and Zacharias have had a conversation, probably him writing on a tablet, right? He probably had the latest iPad, and so he's writing on his tablet. And so I'll show that to you in scripture in a moment. So his mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. Verse 61, but they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So in other words, no, we're going to override you. You can't name him John. You got to name him something that one of your relatives is named. Verse number 62, so they made signs to his father what he would have called him. Verse 63, and asking for a writing tablet. See, there it is. He asked for his iPad. Give it to me. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. Whoa, okay. These guys are in agreement. Who are they in agreement with? With God, right? Because the angel came and declared to them, his name shall be called what? John, right? God's gracious gift to you. God is gracious. His name shall be called John. He is a gift. He's going to go and prepare the way of the Lord. So now they have come in agreement with God because they are now speaking what God says. Are you guys seeing this? Look at what happens when we get in agreement. Verse 64, immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed and he spoke praising God. And then he goes on in the next couple of verses, if you want to read down sometime on your own, and he actually starts to prophesy. Starts to declare the will of God that's about ready to take place. It's an amazing thing that takes place, amazing thing that happens. Man, just the celebrations and the things that go on. You know, between Mary and Zacharias, this is like a musical. You know what I'm saying? Somebody should actually make Christmas the musical. I think it'd be awesome. Maybe one of you will do it. But we need to get in agreement with the word. See, our tongues are bound by fear and doubt as long as we're not speaking what God says. The moment we come in agreement with the word of God and declare it in our lives with our lips, it will release the ability of God on our behalf. You guys all tracking? Let me tell you a story about this. My wife and I, one time we were getting ready to purchase a home, and so as we were looking at things, we were calculating things out, and in the natural, we just couldn't get past it. We had a couple of different options. We could either stay in the house we were in and just continue to save money, right? Practical wisdom, and then purchase the home. The other option was we could sell the house we were in and use the money on that one to be a down payment for the other house. Practical wisdom, right? But we were kind of struggling over this because we're saying, okay, this house that we're in is a part of our retirement program. We're going to pay it off free and clear someday, and we're going to receive rental income from that, and we're going to continue to build and, you know, do that sort of a thing. And we knew that we needed to do this on our own. This is a part of our own personal retirement program. And so we're sitting there and we're struggling over this. Should we just stay? Should we not buy the house? But we really like the house. You know, our family's expanding. We're having kids. We need more room, that sort of a thing. But we don't want to sell this house, but we like the new house. What do we do? And I had a spirit of faith come over me. It's one of the few times I felt this. I felt like a rush, just of joy and a rush of faith come into my heart. And I knew it was God, and I started to declare what I believe God was speaking to me at that moment. I told my wife, I said, well, how about this? I bet you there's a third option. And she's staring at me like, you're crazy right now. I don't know what to do with you, you know? And I said, honey, how about we buy the new house and we keep the old house? And she's like, you just said something that makes no sense. You know what I mean? She was just staring in disbelief. She said, how are we going to do that? I said, I don't know, but I got faith that this is what God wants us to do. And so we started to investigate. We ran the numbers again. They still looked poor. They still looked terrible. And we said, okay, we're going to see how this happens. But as we started to go through the process, we realized, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make a crazy offer. And so we decided to reach out, and we reached out to our realtor, and our realtor said, no one would ever accept this offer. This is a crazy offer. We said, we know, but what have we got to lose? The worst they can do is say no, right? And she said, all right, you know. So she turned the offer in. Guess what they did? They accepted the offer. We got the house. It was a blessing. It was a wonderful home. And now we sold it, and now we're in another home. But my point is this. Hey, right? Rolling Stone gathers no mas. We didn't want that house, no mas. So, but my point is this. Is that while we were confused, while we were, you know, looking at the numbers, while we didn't have a word from God, we could never get in line with agreement with God. But the moment faith grabbed a hold of the promise of what God was speaking at that moment, the moment that I knew this is the will of God, and the moment my faith latched onto that and I got myself in agreement with it, that's all that needed to happen. And it's no different with you. Sometimes people wonder, why haven't I gotten healed yet? It's because you still don't believe yet. You still haven't gotten in line with the word of God yet, that by his stripes, you were healed. But let me tell you something. The moment that faith drops in your heart and you believe that you can receive it, and when you stand praying, believing, you know that you're going to have those things that you've asked of him, the moment that drops in and you get in agreement with that, you're going to get it. Some of you guys have been desiring spiritual gifts for a long time. You've been in this church for a long time. You have had people lay hands on you and pray for you to receive your prayer language or spiritual gifts, and you've been wondering, why can't I get past? Here's the reason why. Is because up here, you're in disagreement. You don't believe it to be so. You say, how do you know, Pastor? Here's how I know, because I was that guy, you know, like 20 years ago. I was in disagreement. I thought that was something that weird people did, or it was demonic, or I don't know what that is, right? But the moment that I got faith in my heart to receive it, and I believed it, all of a sudden, that language came, those gifts started to flow, things started to happen in my life. My natural life went beyond what I could drum up in my own thinking, and now I started to live the supernatural power of God that he wanted me to live in. Are you listening tonight? Wondering why you're not prospering, wondering why you're not blessed. Maybe it's because there is a poverty mentality that you are not yet in agreement with the promise of God. Well, I don't know if God wants me to be blessed. Well, then you don't know about your Bible, do you? Because Ephesians, the first chapter, I believe it's verse number 3 somewhere in there, says that he's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You're already blessed where it counts. Why not receive that blessing here and now in the natural? Does the children of God need to be beggars? I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You don't have to live poor and broke. It's not spiritual to not have the resources you need to do the work that God has called you to do. Jesus had a treasure rolling with him. Hello? You don't have a treasure unless you got money. And he had 12 guys, fishermen. I'm sure those guys ate like crazy. They probably cost him a whole lot of money, right? Start to think about this. The Apostle Paul, he went out there and he worked with his hands. He was a tent maker, and he said he was never a burden to the churches. That guy had money. Don't kid yourself for a second, because he had other people rolling with him too. He always was taking someone with him. Get Timothy, get Mark, he's good for the ministry. Send Luke, right? He's got all these guys. He rolled deep, if you will. I'm putting it down in IE terms tonight. But sometimes we think, well, God wants me poor because money's the root of all evil. No, it's the root of all kinds of evil, and it's the love of money that's the root of all kinds of evil. That some desiring to be rich have fallen into terrible things. Don't let that attach your heart. Your treasure should be doing the will of God. And if your treasure is doing the will of God, then he will resource you and equip you to be able to do what you need to do. Let me step down off that soapbox, all right? Because I got to get to the last one. Not only get in agreement with the word, not only get doubt out, but the last thing is this, is rehearse the word. Rehearse the word. Rehearse the word. Can I say it again? Rehearse the word. I'm doing this on purpose. Rehearse the word, because I want you to remember to rehearse the word. Why? Because our hearts, it's like a boat in the ocean, isn't it? Whatever way the current, whatever way the pull, whatever way the drift, we're just all over the place. And without an anchor, without something holding us to a spot, we're going to drift wherever the currents take us, wherever our thoughts take us, wherever our minds are going, wherever our emotions are flowing. But God wants us to be strong and steady. He wants us to have an anchor. And his anchor is his word. God wants us to be tethered to himself. Jesus is that hope, that anchor for our soul, the hope of glory that's on the inside of us. Jesus is the word of God, and if God has given you a promise, God wants you to stake down that promise so that when the currents of life pull at you, when things push at you, when your mind is going this direction, but your body's going this direction, and when the world is going that direction, it doesn't matter, because why? I have a promise from God that's anchoring me to this spot, and I ain't getting off this plot of ground until I get my promise from God, because I know my God. He is faithful. He may not come in my time, but he's always on time. He's going to do it if he said it. And guess what? It's going to happen. And that's why we rehearse the word. God actually tells in the Bible us, put me in remembrance of my word. For my word that proceeds forth, that goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me void, he says, but it will accomplish that which I sent it forth to do. God wants you and me to declare his word, yes. He wants us to pray. He wants us to get doubt out. He wants us to get in agreement. But guess what? He says, rehearse it. I want you to remind yourself of it. I want you to talk about it with your friends. I want you to tell your spouse. I want you to call your mama at Christmas and tell her, Merry Christmas, mama. Here's my promise from God. He wants you to write it down. He wants you to remember this. Why? Because we can drift, and God wants you to stay strong on the promise of God. Remember, I told you that Zacharias was prophesying, right? Zacharias, filled with the Holy Spirit, finally his lips are loose, and he starts to declare what's about ready to take place. And in Luke chapter 1, verse number 76, take a look at what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 76. And you, child, he starts speaking to his baby boy, just 8 days old. You, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. If you go back and read verse number 17, essentially that's the same exact thing that the angel said in verse number 17. Now, did Zacharias need to say it again? Yes, he did. Why? Because he's rehearsing the word. He's rehearsing covenant. This is what God has spoken. This is what God is in agreement with. I'm in agreement with, and therefore I'm going to say it again. And I'm going to say it again. And I'm going to say it again. And guys, this is not chanting, okay? I hope you know this. It's not some new age thing that if I can say it over and over and over and over again, that it's going to happen. That's not what this is all about, okay? This is not some weird thing where you lose your mind and you just chant until your eyes flicker and you start to levitate. That's not going to happen, all right? That's demonic. What I'm talking about is believing those things that you say, that you declare it. You know, you can tell when something's on the inside of somebody by what comes on the outside of them, by what proceeds forth from their mouth. If they are filled up with the word, then when you poke them, the word's going to come out, right? If you squeeze them, the word is going to come out. But you can tell when they're filled up with filth, when you poke them, you don't like what comes out, right? High school words come out. But God wants to bring forth his promise in your life. And something's struggling to be born on the inside of you and me. And I believe that every promise of God is a seed, because Jesus said the sower sows the word. And that seed also spoke of the great seed, Jesus Christ, who came in the form of a baby. And here was Zacharias, and he had a seed that was spoken from the word of God, you will have a son. He'll go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons. He's going to do great and mighty things. He's going to turn the children of Israel back to Father God. It'll be called great. It'll bring joy to many people. There was a seed that was sown, and not only in Elizabeth's womb would there be a seed, but in Zacharias' heart. I mean, that's why God had to shut him up so that he didn't curse himself or take himself out of the blessings that he had. Well, I don't know how God's going to do it. Man, you're old. I don't even know if this baby's going to come full term. Yet God wanted John the Baptist on the earth. It was the plan and it was the will of God. I believe there's something that needs to be born in each and every one of us in this place tonight. At Christmas time, we remember that it's in our hearts that Jesus Christ was born. But I believe there's a promise that God has given each and every one of you that he wants to bring forth from your life. And so we got to get doubt out. Got to make sure to get in agreement with the word of God. And we have to rehearse the word. We have to speak what God says. We got to get it so in us that when somebody says, hey, how's your day going? The promise comes out. When somebody says, hey, what are you dreaming about for 2019? The promise comes out. When somebody starts to ask you, hey, what's your short-term and long-term goals? The promise comes out. When somebody asks you, what would you like for dinner? The promise comes out. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. Because when it's in you, it doesn't matter what comes at you. It's going to come out of you. And I believe that tonight, God wants to minister to your hearts. Would you just take a private moment with God? Would you just pray with me? Could you just bow your heads and close your eyes? What we speak is vitally important. Proverbs chapter 21, 23, right there with your eyes closed. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. This season and on into next year and into your future, my hope for you is that you'd watch your mouth, that you'd get doubt out. Is there an area tonight as we were talking? Is there something that the Lord started to shine the light on? Is there doubt in your heart about a promise? Maybe the promise has taken a long time coming. You're having a hard time believing that it's going to come to pass. Maybe you've forgotten what God spoke to you and he's reminding you right now. We got to get doubt out. We got to get in agreement. Is there an area in your life that you've been in disagreement with God? He's been speaking promises and you said, how can that be? Who am I? My family is the smallest, the least. I can't speak that well, God. I've got stammering lips. Why don't you send my brother? Is there an area that you need to get back in agreement? Would you just repent right before the Lord in your seat, right there? Just apologize to God.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.